Pastor Lauer from our Seder Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Seder's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. During these times of pandemic, our regular services are indoors at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a parking lot service at 9:15. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love.
Great is the Lord. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves His love.
William Shakespeare wrote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts." But I think that if he were writing today, he would have said, "All the world is a game, and all the men and women merely players." Comparing our lives to a theater production or to a sporting event is a way of saying that in every aspect of our lives, we are playing by a script or a set of rules which someone else has laid out for us. Every school year begins with a new set of rules, and those who play by the rules will succeed, and those who do not will fail. That's why the saying seems so true that all we really need to know we learned in kindergarten. That's because getting along in life is really little more than just learning to live by a set of rules. In kindergarten, we learned to share, to play fair, to clean up our own messes, and to flush. As we grow older and we find ourselves in many different settings, from family to work to marriage and parenthood, we simply add on to that set of rules, while many of the old ones may still apply to our new situations. But the rules do also get more complicated as you move out of kindergarten. What does it mean to play fair? Is it fair to cheat when everyone else is cheating? Is it fair to bend the rules toward your own benefit from time to time? After all, fair is fair, and what's good for the goose is good for the gander, as people often say. Since so much of life is about learning to figure out how to play by the rules, we are quick to expect that this is the way that our life with God is to be as well. But last week we heard the Lord say, "Your ways are not my ways, and neither are your thoughts my thoughts." And that is because God is neither playing a game, nor will he negotiate with us. It's his universe, and we are his creation. From the beginning, he has only had one rule. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. It should then go without saying, but it appears that God has to say that you should also love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's all there is. He shouldn't have to say any more. But it continues to appear that we are rather dense because of sin and need to have more of it spelled out for us. Okay. You shall have no other gods. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You remember those three and the other seven. Are you still confused? Are you still not sure what God expects from you? Our desire is to turn God's word into one of our games so that we can bend or redefine the rules to our benefit and thereby win against God. But God's not playing. First of all, he's God, and he doesn't have to play your game. If you're the one making the rules, then that would make you God, which you are not. Secondly, if you can use the rules to manipulate God into giving you what you want, then don't think that it's God you're playing with. This is what Adam and Eve did, which got them into trouble in the first place. And this is what the people had been trying to do when God spoke to them through the prophet Ezekiel in our first text for today. They had been saying, "God's not fair." To which God replied, and I paraphrase here, "What do you mean I'm not fair?" said God. "I created this world and this set of rules. Now, when those who do what is wrong turn away from their sins and turn back to me, I forgive them and they shall live. But those who keep on doing what is wrong and do not return to me will die, just as I had said. I'm keeping my promise. It's you who keep trying to change the rules and won't let anyone be forgiven." Now, that's a paraphrase, but let me summarize it this way. God is saying that there is only one rule. He is our God, and we are his people. That's it. Trust in him, and he will take care of everything. But if we go on trying to find all kinds of new rules, when something tragic happens, we wonder, "Why did God let this happen to me? What did I do wrong? It's not fair. He's not fair." Well, that's just what the Israelites had been doing. That's what the leaders of the people were doing when they came to Jesus in the temple, as he is recorded in our gospel reading for today. They said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" In other words, "Hey, who says you can change the rules, Jesus? We worked hard to come up with these rules, and now you come along and change them." But Jesus points out that their rules are of their own making. They are not God's rules. He's not changing their rules. He's telling the people what God, his own Father, has been saying all along. "I am your God, and you are my people." That's it. End of game. So when Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," he's simply saying how God works. He declares us to be his people and marks us with his own name, and we are his. Let him handle sin, death, and the power of the devil. In fact, in Jesus, God has already played the devil's game and beaten him at it. Game over. That's it. End of story. It is finished. This is not to say that we no longer have any rules for living in this world. We still must honor our father and mother and obey the government and those in authority over us. We still need to get along with one another and play fair, as it were, in this life. But when it comes to being the people of God and defeating the power of sin, death, and the grave, that part has already been taken care of for us by God, specifically by Jesus, when he took the penalty for sin on himself and opened to us the way to everlasting life. He is the way, because it is he that won the victory. And he is the life, because we have life through him. So this is what we should learn today. It is true that in this world we have rules to follow. We must obey our parents, governments, and others whom God has placed in authority over us. We have to play by the rules in society, in the family, at work or school, and in other relationships. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we must not let anyone impose rules upon us which God himself has not given. You are a child of God because he says that you are, period. And he has put his own name upon you and marked you with the sign of the cross. You have a place in the kingdom of heaven because the Lord our God himself has said it is so. He says to me, Paul Anthony Lauer, I have called you by name and you are mine. Will anyone argue with this or tell you differently? Don't you believe them? Will anyone say that you must have some special experience to know that you are saved? Baloney! Will someone tell you that Jesus expects your obedience if you are to belong to him? Poppycock! Are you in for a lifetime of suffering and sorrow because you follow Jesus? No, it's not true. In the second reading, we hear the Apostle Paul explaining how he is glad and rejoices that his life is being spent for the sake of the faith of the Christians in Philippi. In his body, he may suffer by imprisonment or perhaps even death. But just last week, we heard him say, to live is Christ, by which he means that he is glad to be an instrument of Christ in bringing salvation to the world. And to die? Well, for him, that would mean great gain, because he knows that all the blessings of God await him, as they do for all God's people in the kingdom of heaven. How could he be sad that God was using him to bring salvation to others? And why should he be afraid to leave behind this broken world to be brought into the presence of God? Nothing can separate him from the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. So why should he or any other Christian be full of sorrow like those who have no hope? Our confusion comes because in every other part of life we live by the rules, the laws, which tell us who we are and what we must do. Are you a husband or a wife, a parent or a child, an employer or an employee, a pastor or a parishioner? Then live by the place in life where God has given you without grumbling, Paul says, so that we may be blameless in the eyes of the world. But do not pile on rules upon yourself or upon others, in order to be more sure or to feel better about yourself. The one rule which God has given, to love him above all else, we could not keep. That is why we need a Savior. If we could obey God, we would have saved ourselves, but in fact we cannot. So God himself fulfilled all the rules, and was obedient even to death on a cross, bearing sins which were not his own. So to say that something more is still needed that Christ has not already given is to make his death meaningless, because we are back to playing games with God, games which we cannot win. Remember, you are loved by God for the sake of Jesus. You do not need to impress him or be afraid of him. You do not need to add to what he has already done or to twist his arm to love you more. So if all that God has to give is already assured to us by his Son, suddenly we find that neither do we need to compete with one another. Life is not a race for God's attention or a competition for God's affection. Instead, we are free to serve others because we have already been served by him. And as Christ Jesus our Lord served in the way which only he could, so we follow him best by serving where he has put us, with the gifts that he has given us. Again, there is no need to compete with one another or to manipulate God, because we have already been promised all that he has. That is his way with us. So instead of trying to get the upper hand, we should lend a hand to those in need. Instead of trying to take care of ourselves, we should take care of one another, because we have already been provided for. Instead of trying to see what we can get away with, we should see what we can do to help. For as long as we are still here, we have a chance to make a difference, not because we want something more from God, but because we already have been given the assurance of all that we could need. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.